I just received by email a query from one of my brahmachari disciples serving in India, which I will paraphrase as follows. He said that we recently saw that Bhakti Charu Swami Maharaj, who appeared to be in very good health, he contracted a disease and within a short time he passed away. And that the same thing could happen to myself. And of course, we know that the time of everyone in this world is limited and we're all going to pass away sooner or later. And death can come very suddenly, just in an instant. So I'm just adding a bit more to what he said. So his concern was that after I pass away, what will we do if we see that within the broader Vaishnava society there are so many deviations? Where shall we turn? How shall we know what to do? Should we remain within the great Vaishnavas or the what may be considered the mainstream institutional Vaishnava society if we see there are so many deviations? it becomes intolerable and there's no one to guide us how to understand these things. And he said that even among the leaders, among my disciples, there may be disagreements about how to respond to various situations. So that was basically his query. So on the basis of that, I want to discuss about staying connected to Krishna in all circumstances. The query is relevant now, it's relevant in the future. We understand from the various teachings that Srila Prabhupada has given us, from the scriptures, that human life is meant for God realization, and that God realization begins with Brahma Jignasa. Not only in India or in the Vedic culture, any thoughtful person should consider, who are we? What are we doing in this world? Why is there suffering? How can I get free from suffering? Is there God? Who is God? What is my relationship with God? How can I act in relationship with that God? And in so many ways, so many questions will arise, the big questions of existence. So bhakti yoga is the perfect spiritual science of understanding our existential problems and acting intelligently on the basis of that knowledge to resolve those problems in the best possible and lasting manner. Therefore, bhakti yoga is also called buddhi yoga, the yoga of intelligence. Specifically, bhakti yoga means connecting. Yoga means to connect. Bhakti means devotion. So bhakti yoga is the yoga of connecting with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, in submission, service, and love. Knowing that all misfortune arises, our whole material existence arises, the cause of all our misfortune arises, because of disconnection from Krishna. Bhayam dvitiya bhinivesha syat ishada petyasya viparya yosmriti hi. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we enter the world of fear when we become absorbed in a conception of life that is opposite to our real constitutional position of love of Krishna. In other words, when we become inimical to Krishna, then our suffering in material existence begins. Krishna bahimokhaya bhogavanchakare nikartastha mayatare japartiya dhare. When we become inimical to Krishna, we desire to enjoy separately from Krishna, and Maya, the illusory potency of Krishna, is just waiting there to catch us and hold us in her grip. So the solution to this unwanted situation, this undesirable situation, which the whole undesirable position of material existence can be called anartha, or that which is opposite to our real self-interest. So in this regard, Srimad Bhagavatam states, anartho pashamang sakshad bhakti yoga madho kshade. That this whole unwanted material existence can be the direct process for mitigating it is bhakti yoga to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There may be other processes which somewhat reduce the severity, but the direct process is bhakti yoga, the linking process with Krishna. Linking, why? Because our whole material existence is due to being delinked with Krishna, disconnected. And bhakti yoga is the process to reconnect, and then all our problems are solved. It sounds very simple. Actually, it is. Due to Maya illusion, we fail to understand this. The process of reconnection is by bhakti. Bhaktya sanjataya bhaktya. Again, Srimad Bhagavatam. By the process of bhakti, cultivating our sense of love for Krishna, reigniting that, reconnecting that, then we come to the perfect position of being perfectly connected with Krishna in submission, service, and love. The process of bhakti, how do we practically enact that within this world? That is given by Srila Rupa Goswami, beginning with Guru Padashrayas Tasmat, Krishna Diksha Di Shikshanam Vishrambhena Guru Seva. He lists 64 basic processes or 64 guidelines for practicing bhakti yoga, beginning with taking shelter at the lotus feet of a guru, taking initiation in Krishna mantra from a guru, taking instruction about Krishna from a guru, and serving a guru with great faith, veneration, and affection. This is the process. We connect to devotional service and thus to Krishna via the guru. The guru connects us to Krishna via a parampara, a system of a disciple, guru-disciple relationship within a sampradaya, a broader society of gurus and disciples who are all connected to Krishna via the process of guru parampara. And this being initiated into a Vaishnav sampradaya also means that we connect with a guru who connects us to all the previous acharyas, who connects us by this process to Krishna. And we also connect with all the other members of the Sampradaya, present, and all those who have previously been there. So we become connected to a big family at Krishna's lotus feet. So having been connected in this way, the initial connection is made. Then it's our duty as disciples to make that connection strong by applying ourselves strongly to the process of devotional service. Another example is given in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, where bhakti is the process of advancing in devotional service is compared to a creeper which grows around a tree, in which having obtained the seed of that creeper and then which sprouts within our heart, we have to water that plant, the creeper of devotional service, by hearing and chanting about Krishna and all the other processes which help us to become strong in devotional service, to grow toward Krishna, to make strong our connection with Krishna. However, the success of our efforts depend on a large extent, or a major extent, not simply on our own efforts, but on the mercy that is coming down. We have to make a step to connect. The mercy comes, but we have to take it. Just like if we're fallen in a well, someone throws a rope, and by their mercy we can be taken out of the well, but we have to hold on to the rope. We have to do a little work ourselves. We're completely dependent for getting out of the well on the other person who's liberated, who's out of the well. We're completely dependent on their help. Without their help, there's no question of us getting out. But at the same time, we have to do a little work ourselves. We have to hold on to the rope. So in the same way, we have to make our... We have to do our work of hearing and chanting and serving Krishna. But to a large extent, how much we're able to connect with Krishna, how strong that connection is, how strong we can make that connection, depends on how strong the sampradaya is and how well the guru is connected. To give an example, we may have some superb electrical equipment, but if it's not plugged into the source, it's not going to work. So we can have a big religious institution with many spread very widely around the world, with many temples and many facilities, but if it's not properly connected to Krishna, then it won't connect us to Krishna. Or it may be a faulty connection, just like sometimes the current may fluctuate, or some wire may be loose, and then even though we have superb electrical equipment, it doesn't work very well or doesn't work properly. It may malfunction or operate below its capacity if the connection is faulty. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita describes the tree of devotional service coming from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had so many followers, and they made more followers, more disciples, whose disciples made more followers. And in this way, it's akin to a genealogical tree, of which the trunk, the root and the trunk is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then the trunk has two main branches, Advaita and Nityananda. And there are many branches and sub-branches. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also the gardener. The branches, and thus also the twigs, the leaves, the buds, the flowers, the fruits, they can all flourish if they're well connected to the trunk. That means the guru has to be well connected. And we sometimes this term is used, well connected, in terms of being connected to power. So if you're well connected, you can get ahead in life, not on your own, so much on your own abilities, but if you're well connected, you can get a good appointment if you know the people in power. So if we're well connected with, if our sampradaya is well connected with Krishna, or our religious institution is well connected with Krishna, then all the members within that can flourish. And particularly the guru is the link for the disciple. If he has many disciples, then the many disciples become like a branch of the tree, and they can flourish to the extent that the guru is well connected. So what does that mean, well connected? It's not like in material life, if it were some kind of nepotism is going on. But there is a standard for understanding if one is well connected with Krishna. That standard is by proper vichar, achar, and prachar. Vichar means proper understanding. Proper understanding of the teachings of the Vaishnava acharyas, which specifically are founded in the truths of Srimad Bhagavatam, of all the Vedic literature, but particularly Srimad Bhagavatam. Amnaya praha tattvam. We understand what is the reality of Krishna from Amnaya, the Vedic scriptures, as delivered by the Vaishnava acharyas. And so the vichara, the proper understanding, which the guru is a spiritual teacher and is meant to teach that, so he has to teach the right thing, obviously, and he will do if he has the right understanding, which he gets from his guru, which ultimately comes from Krishna himself. Krishna hoite chaturmukha hoi Krishna shevan mukha. The parampara begins with Krishna speaking to Brahma, and Brahma hoite naradera mati. Then Brahma speaks to Narada, and in this way the parampara comes down over long periods of time. So vichar and then achar. The one has to act properly in devotional service. There are certain rules and regulations that we have to follow, which are again given in scripture, and which they work with the proper understanding, which is given the vichar, so that we can act in such a way that we act in accord with that understanding. We act in such a way that we become Krishna conscious. We connect with Krishna. Certain things that we do will connect us with Krishna. Certain things that if we do, they will disconnect us from Krishna. So the whole process is one of connection. And then again, there is prachar, because how does the tree develop? How does the parampara develop? Because the gurus, they teach, they go out among people who are not devotees and teach and induce them to come to Krishna consciousness. And the preaching is based on the same standard vichar. In other words, they teach what they have heard from previous acharyas based on scripture. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu put it, Jare dekho tare koha Krishna upadesh, amaragyai guru hoya taro edesh. In the words of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he ordered his followers that whoever you see, speak to them the instructions of Krishna. On my order, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, becoming a guru, you deliver this land. So this is the process by which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to connect people to his tree of devotional service. So how can we know if the connection is there? Well, it's recognizable. The achar, vichar, prachar, they're the same as... How do we know if the guru is connected? His achar, vichar, prachar are the same as that of the previous acharyas. Especially, again, the vichar, which relates as the prachar and the acharya. So it's all in line. We can see that the way the previous acharyas spoke and acted and talked, if we see the same thing, then in the present acharyas and the present sampradaya, then we know it is well connected with Krishna through the process of parampara. Even a very big branch of a tree will gradually shrivel and dry up if somehow it becomes not well connected. Somehow someone puts poison on the tree or cuts it, or lightning hits it, or for whatever reason. So in the same way, there may be devotees who are well connected, but then somehow or other, if the guru apyavaliptasya karya karya ajanataha utpanna pratipannasya parityago vidhiyate. The injunction is that if someone is in the position of a guru, but he's not well situated, is addicted to activities which are not suitable, or even if he was well situated but changes to a position of not being well situated, he should be given up. In other words, the guru, if he's connected but somehow or other becomes disconnected, then one should disconnect oneself from that guru and reconnect oneself to the proper tree. Otherwise, the guru, as he shrivels up in devotional service, then others will shrivel up along with him. We judge a tree by its fruits. That's a common saying. But before a tree gives a fruit, we can understand it, even if one is a expert one knows about trees, then he can know from the leaves and the bark, even of a sapling, that this is a mango tree or a sapota tree or something like that. So the tree of pure devotional, the tree of devotional service that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought to the world is Prema Kalpataru. It is the tree of pure love of Krishna, which fulfills all the heart's desires of the living beings. But even before prema comes, because that's the fruit, you don't get it in the beginning. There's a seed, and it grows, and you have to look after it. In the beginning, it's a very frail thing, and you have to look after it very carefully so that animals don't come and eat it or trample over it. But in the beginning, we can recognize that tree by its initial symptoms, just like you can recognize a tree by its, even in a young stage, one who knows, they can see by the leaves, by the branch, by the bark. So in the same way, the initial stage, which must be there in the tree in an immature stage and in an immature stage, is vairagya vidya, detachment and knowledge. Vairagya vidya, detachment and knowledge, especially the vichar, The proper understanding must be detachment. If one is attached to this world, he cannot be fully attached to Krishna. One's bhakti pareshanubhavo viraktir anyatra chaisha. One's bhakti means attachment to Krishna and concomitant detachment from this world. So if one is attached to this world, that means he's not attached to Krishna, definitely one cannot get full attachment to Krishna. There may be some attachment to Krishna, but full attachment means detachment from this world. So vairagya and vidya, one should know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I am his eternal servant. I am now in this material world having forgotten him. I'm trying to reconnect to him through the process of devotional service. So vairagya and vidya must be there. These are the initial and unfailing, indispensable symptoms of pure devotional service, which we'll see in every case. There may be many varieties of mango tree, but there are basic characteristics by which we know they are mango trees and not any other trees. In this regard, about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it stated, Vairagya Vidyanija Bhakti Yogam Shikshatame Kapurusha Purana Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sharira Dhari Kripam Vade Yastamaham Prapadye. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said that I take shelter of, I surrender to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is an ocean of mercy, being an ocean of mercy. He came to this world to teach the linking process of devotional service to himself, which is characterized by vairagya and vidya. Even though he is that same original Supreme Personality of Godhead who is the object of devotion, who devotion is to be offered to, and who came in this world to teach that out of his mercy. So this detachment and knowledge, these are indispensable. And this acha, vicha, pracha, they're all interlinked with vairagya and vidya. One should know vicha, one should understand that I have nothing to do with this world, I am only connected to Krishna. This is vairagya vidya. And one acts in such a way that will be pleasing to Krishna, not pleasing to one's own misconceptions of how I should act based on the illusion that arises from being disconnected with Krishna. And prachar means to tell people this, to tell people that we need to reconnect with Krishna. So it's all based on this vairagya and vidya. Now, if we follow all of this, this acha, vicha, pracha, that will give rise to the fruit of prema, the fruit of love of Krishna. We have a proper understanding. Just like there's a way to cultivate mango trees in a way that one will get abundant fruits. One has to know. If one is going to cultivate mango trees as a profession, one has to know how to do it. And if one knows how to do it, then the result will be there. Abundant fruit will arise. Of course, that depends on God's mercy also in the form of sufficient rains. But there are various things that one knows one has to know how to select proper trees for the particular local climate and soil, when to plant them, how far apart to plant them, watering, shading, protecting from predators and so on, and diseases and so on and so on and so on. So one has to be under the guidance of someone who knows how to properly cultivate this, and one has to learn from that person how to oneself cultivate this vairagya vidya, achar, vichar, prachar, so that his tree of devotional service grows very nicely. And he's well connected to the original tree of devotional service. If someone promises, I'll give you plenty of mangoes, I'll give you the fruit of prem, but doesn't give the standard process of the standard understanding, he doesn't teach us, he doesn't give us the prachar, the proper teaching, if he doesn't give us the proper achar, vichar, prachar, then he's cheating. We can understand he's not properly linked. It might even look like, in our immature stage of not understanding properly, someone might seem to be well linked, or they might seem to be giving us what is actually bhakti, but what is it's actually not bhakti. Just the other day, I saw a sapling of a tree, and it was actually a mango sapling, but I mistook it for an ashok tree because it was put next to the residence, and I thought it was being put as a shade tree, and it had very thin leaves, similar to those on an ashok tree. But then I was told it was a mango tree. So someone who knows, even though they don't yet see the mango fruit, or you don't get the mango fruit, if you know properly, you can recognize a mango tree by its leaves and its bark. But if you don't know, then you may be confused, and you may get a different. And you're not going to get any nice mangoes from an ashok tree. You might get some shade from the sunlight, but you're not going to get the mango. So in the same way, you're not going to get the fruit of love of God if you get the wrong kind of tree. So we might get something from someone who's offering something which looks like bhakti, but it won't be the fruit of prem that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give. It might even be some very bitter fruit. If it's the fruit of material enjoyment, then that's very bitter. Or if we don't know what actual prem means, then we may be in the situation arasagya kak chushe gyana nimba phale rasagya kukil kai premamra mukule. The example is given by Sri Ramananda Rai that persons who are interested in the dry or the process of jnana, of trying to understand spiritual knowledge simply by their own intellectual endeavors, they are like crows who like to suck the bitter fruits of the neem tree. They think the neem tree very nice. But the kokil, which is a bird which looks very similar to a crow, but whereas the crows say, "Caw, caw," it's a gross, ugly bird, but the kokil is, it looks similar, but its bodily formation is much more slender and it makes a beautiful sound. So rasagya, those who don't know the bliss of actual pure loving devotional service, they're like crows. And those who do know, they like to take the nice buds of the mango tree. This is the example given in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. So others may come and they may seem to be the right thing, but they might not necessarily be. So in the same way, someone, they might seem to be giving the right thing, but if, for instance, they give the holy name of, they may tell us to chant the name of Krishna, but by if they give it with the idea that, well, we chant Hare Krishna and we're here to enjoy the, we can enjoy, you can get prem and enjoy this material world at the same time. We won't get prem, we'll get the fruit of material enjoyment. If they may cite, Prabhupada said, chant Hare Krishna and be happy. But if they give us the idea, you chant Hare Krishna and it's very important that you get lots of money and a good job and you have to have status and prestige, then they're not giving the pure holy name of Krishna, which is based on There has to be vairagya, detachment from this world, and knowledge that there is no happiness in the world. Our only real happiness is with Krishna. So by chanting Hare Krishna in that way, we may feel happiness, because Krishna is naturally, he is nama chintamani Krishna. He's the, like a wish touchstone. We can get happiness by chanting the name of Krishna, but that happiness, that's akin to pious material enjoyment. It's not vairagya vidya. Where's the vairagya? And a real vidya of how we really have to give everything to Krishna, that's covered by the, we're chanting Hare Krishna, but the idea is covered by the idea we're here to enjoy this. Let us live happily in this world and chant Hare Krishna, and then we die and we'll get prem. But it doesn't exactly work like that. We won't get prem. We won't, by such an attitude in chanting, because we're not connected with the actual tree of prema, because our vichar is not correct, because the prachar, the teaching to us, is not correct. Therefore, we won't get vairagya vidya, and definitely we won't get prem. So persons who lack vairagya vidya, who enjoy pious, they enjoy pious material happy, material enjoyment, they chant Hare Krishna, but without the conscious understanding that we have to be free of material desires to actually enter into the realm of prema, to actually please Krishna. If we deliberately maintain material desires, that kind of seeming bhakti or bhakti-abhas, seeming bhakti, it will seem very desirable to many people who are very pious. They like to, just like the followers of Sai Baba, they chant the names of Govinda, 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 and they chant the names of Krishna. But they're a long way from pure devotional service, even though they're chanting the name of Krishna. And so if we're told by people who are, their prachar to us is that, I'm just giving this as an example of those who may seem to be a very big branch of the tree of devotional service, but are actually not very well connected with the actual tree that gives pure love of Krishna. So they may become a very big branch by telling others, yes, you chant Hare Krishna and enjoy this material world. It's very important that you enjoy and all this. In a pious way, of course. They don't tell us that you go out and get a roast beef or anything like that. But in a pious material enjoyment, then that will, such a proposition will be very attractive to many people, especially when they're told that actually you get prem by doing this. You chant Hare Krishna and you get prem, which is true, but it's not, if we just say that by chanting Hare Krishna you get prem, it's the truth, but it's not the whole truth and nothing but the truth, because taramadhe sarva shrishta nama sankirtan niraparadhi nama loile pai premadhan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that among all the processes of devotional service, best of all is chanting the holy names. And if one does so without offenses, then one gets the treasure of prema, of pure devotional service to Krishna. And the basic offense which keeps us in the material world is to cultivate desires for material enjoyment. So if we don't stop doing that while we're chanting Hare Krishna, well, the effect that of chaito, darpana, marjanam, of cleaning the heart, won't take place unless we have a specific desire that the heart will be cleansed. The dirt on the heart of what is again, Krishna bahimokoya bhogama vancha kore. Our desires for material enjoyment are because we don't desire to love Krishna. So we may be chanting the holy name of Krishna, which really means a call for service to Krishna, but if we're desiring material enjoyment, then it's as if we're calling to Krishna that you give me material and you serve me, you give me material enjoyment. So the whole proposition is pious, yeah, but back to front, and the seed of offensiveness is there also. But it's likely to attract many people because everyone is in this world because they want material enjoyment. So this vichar is not correct. This understanding that it's very important that we have to cultivate our career and have a good position and be respectable in society. There might be some grounds for that. It's arguable, but when it becomes central to our whole understanding of what we're doing in devotional service, then the vichar is, or the understanding is not correct. And again, we may get many followers by prachar, by preaching in this way, because it appeals to pious people, of whom there are many among Hindus in general. But it's a kind of cheating, and it certainly doesn't properly connect us to the parampara vichar. And what will happen is that if our vichar is incorrect, our prachar is incorrect, then gradually our achar will become incorrect. Achar incorrect, well, obvious manifestations of that will be gross sexual fall down and eating meat, fish, eggs, all this kind of thing. This is gross fall down in achar. But it can begin more subtly also. And in this way, a big strong branch can dry up. Or even a big strong branch, it may look big and strong, it may be big, and it may remain as if it's connected to the tree. Sometimes you see that. That you see a big branch on a tree, but if you go up to it, you'll see it's actually dried up, and it may be full of insects, or it's become hollow, and it just needs a little push, and then it just collapses. It's not properly connected to the tree. Or it may be that it's superficially strong, but there's some poison being injected at the root of the branch, and therefore the poison goes in the fruit. So if you take the fruit, you don't get the sweet, nourishing fruit of love of God, but you get the poison of material desires. So this all comes if we're not very well and clearly connected. Naturally, a branch is connected with a tree, but it can become disconnected. I'll just give an example of this, which I heard from a disciple of mine who is now living as a brahmachari in the ashram. And previously, in his working life, he was in one area, and he visited a program at what's called a bhakti vriksha. Vriksha means tree. Bhakti means devotional service to Krishna. So there are bhakti vriksha programs, are programs which go on in people's houses, in which other people, working people, are invited for a program of hearing and chanting about Krishna and cultivation of Krishna consciousness. So he told me that he went to a bhakti vriksha program, he was invited to a bhakti vriksha program, and it just so happened that at that time and date, there was an India versus Pakistan cricket match going on live, and the bhakti vriksha program consisted of watching the match live, which sounds completely absurd, but it was somewhat devotional. You could say that when India got a run or something, everyone would call out Hari Bol, and at the end India won and everyone was very happy, and for prasadam was distributed kachoris purchased from a local supermarket. So this sounds ridiculous, and but it's as it's related to me. And I'm told also that even leaders of these some of these bhakti vriksha groups in that area, they regularly go to outside restaurants in which all the preparations are cooked with onions and garlic, because they're told, or they whatever, something's wrong there. If we know the science of bhakti yoga, there's obviously something seriously wrong there. And these bhakti vriksha groups, they are made in such a way that new people are brought in, and regularly when the guru comes, who's the guru of all these bhakti vriksha groups, then the bhakti vriksha leaders, who themselves are eating garlic and onions, at least when they go to the restaurants, and who don't follow the principle of giving proper prachar, and who think that good vichar is that when India beat Pakistan at a cricket match, that's good. In other words, they're quite deviated from the basic understanding and practices of devotional service. Their achar, also eating food, grains from cooked by non-devotees and giving that in the name of prasad. And part of, or a purpose of this bhakti vriksha group is that whenever the guru comes, you bring people for initiation, and the guru initiates more and more people who have no basic understanding of what is proper achar or vichar, because they've been given the wrong kind of pracha. And the whole, so in this way, it may seem that the branch is becoming very big, but the connection doesn't seem to be very strong. Although they're told that the connection is strong, because they're told that this guru is a personal associate of Lord Chaitanya, and he can give you special mercy. And with that misunderstanding, the idea is that, well, you can do it. You can do all kinds of things which good pious Hindus do, such as cheering on India against the Pakistan cricket team, and eating vegetarian food, and saying Hari Bol, not whatever sawas or whatever, when they get a run, and then in this way, with this special mercy, you surpass all the rules given by Rupa Goswami. I mean, they don't actually preach like that, but there seems to be some kind of understanding like that. So here we see that because the vichar and the prachar and the achar are all compromised into sense gratification, not at this stage very gross, you could say. I mean, there are much more gross sense gratificatory acts than eating kachoris purchased from a supermarket, although I certainly don't recommend it at all, and I've never personally done it. I never will do it, as Krishna give me proper sense. But it's definitely the opposite of vairagya vidya, of understanding how that we're supposed to do everything anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam. We're supposed to accept only activities which are favorable for our advancement in devotional service and reject all of those which are opposite. But if we don't have a proper understanding of all these things, then in the name of devotional service, we remain disconnected from Krishna. And in the name of spreading the devotional service more and more and more, we connect people to a disconnected branch. Or at least we can say it's not very well connected. It's not connected on proper understanding. And with that lack of real connection with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then although we may think we're connected, just like so many different upper sampradayas may think they're connected, but they don't have a proper connection, and therefore they don't get the actual fruit of love of Krishna. So we have to be very careful. If we see through the eye of Shastra, which we're supposed to be given by our gurus. Agyanatimirandhasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshurin militam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. We should be able to see what is reality, what is to be done and what is not to be done, pravrittingchan, evrittingchan, janana vidura suraha. A symptom of demoniac people is they have no proper understanding of what should be done and what should not be done. So we should be able to recognize what is proper and what is not proper. We should be able to recognize nonsense. If someone speaks nonsense, they tell us, yes, it's good to watch cricket matches in the name of devotional service. Or they habitually speak nonsense. Just, for instance, telling a lot of jokes, wisecracks, and a whole talk, just a bunch of wisecracks and things which are very entertaining, which is nonsense. There's nothing about Krishna. We should, if we have at all the actual mercy from a guru, then we should be able to know what is nonsense. It has no connection with Krishna and Krishna consciousness. Even if the speaker is superficially connected, he may say, well, I'm initiated by this guru who's initiated by Prabhupada. Nonsense should be easy to recognize. If we don't recognize, then we are nonsense. And we may be told, oh, no, you see, his guru is an acharya, and his guru authorizes it, and he approves it. And therefore we should, because his guru approves it, therefore we should not say anything against it. We should know that it's proper, but we should know nonsense is nonsense, and anyone who condones nonsense is also nonsense. And even if that person who condones it is supposed to be a great Vaishnava Acharya, we can know from the symptoms he's disconnected from the actual parampara. Nonsense is nonsense. It's not that hard to understand, however much you may try to pretend that it's not nonsense. Sometimes the example is given of the snake and the rope, that if the guru tells you a rope is a snake, you should think it's a snake. You should say, yes, it's a snake. Or if the guru tells you there's a snake and he tells you, no, it's a rope, you should say, yes, it's a rope. This example is given. But this is a misunderstanding, which as far as I know is only extant within ISKCON, but it may be broadly also, of a common example that is given, for instance, several times in Srimad Bhagavatam, of mistaking a rope to be a snake, which you may see in the twilight, at dawn and at dusk. You may see a rope, and probably in the West, you wouldn't, in most places in the West, unless maybe you're in Florida or somewhere where there are plenty of rattlesnakes, but in most places in the West, you wouldn't even think of seeing a snake anywhere. But here in India, especially in the village areas, it's very common to see snakes. So, and there's an underlying fear that any time you may come across a snake. So in the twilight, you may see a rope and think you're not quite sure if it's a snake or not. So this example is given of how we misunderstand, we mistake illusion to be reality. Now this has become misunderstood, I think, only within ISKCON, that if somehow or other it's come to be misunderstood, that if the guru tells you a rope is a snake, it's a snake, you should think it's a snake, even if you can see it's a rope. But the guru is supposed to give you the spiritual vision, jnana chakshu, shastra chakshu, by which one can distinguish reality from illusion, not that we blindly follow the guru if he tells us that what is wrong is right and what is right is wrong. It's a total misunderstanding. Nonsense is nonsense. And a bona fide parampara is one that delivers the understanding of what is real and what is nonsense. And by linking to that parampara, we can understand and we can be protected from nonsense. Even one has a little training, he can understand. Or even one doesn't have to be a great Vaishnava philosopher to understand that if someone is going on and on talking jokes, this and that, is not the message of the absolute truth given by Vyasadeva and delivered in the parampara. As I was told, some acquaintances of ours in Bengaluru who are inclined to in Krishna consciousness, but the husband of the, for years and years, we've known him, he's very nice, he likes us, but he has this habit of smoking. But then some of our devotees were talking to him, and the subject of one popular speaker came up who is popular and well-known among Vaishnava circles. But this friend of ours who still smokes after so many years, his wife said, well, he never talks about Krishna. She can understand what's the problem. He doesn't speak either about Krishna or the teachings that Krishna gives. So in the same way, it's not such a difficult thing. Anyone who speaks nonsense or condones nonsense is nonsensical. Even if the nonsense comes out of a mouth of a face on which there's Vaishnava tilak, or it may be that it comes out of the mouth of someone who doesn't have Vaishnava tilak, but who deliberately has removed the Vaishnava tilak, it appears, but otherwise in the dress of a Vaishnava sannyasi, and is lauded by many as being a great Vaishnava acharya. But a Vaishnava acharya has certain symptoms, the most prominent of which is that he teaches accordingly to the Vaishnava parampara. And if he speaks nonsense, then it's nonsense. If someone speaks the truth, wherever it comes from, it's the truth. If someone speaks nonsense, it's nonsense. So the whole business of bhakti yoga is to get connected to the truth. To get connected and to remain connected. That's bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga, Krishna consciousness, is a great science. Bhakti doesn't come from nonsense. It's the antithesis of nonsense. Now, of course, for preaching Krishna consciousness, little adjustments here and there may be made by expert acharyas, just like someone is. He's expert in cultivating mango trees, so he may make different adjustments according to the soil in different places or the climate in different places. But that has to be done by an expert, and is not. And it may be that one has passed his degree in forestry or biological sciences, but he's still not an expert. He may just be theoretical, or he may be better than he may not be as good as he thinks he is, or he might have had some good success in cultivating in establishing mango groves in different places, and having had some success and being praised for that. That success goes to his head, and so he thinks, now I don't have to follow the standard process. I'll do it in my own way. I'll do something radically different. And the result, so he starts doing things radically different, and he doesn't get proper mangoes anymore, but he's running on his reputation, and people still think he must be a great expert for what he did in the past, although right now he's not doing the proper thing, he's talking nonsense. So little adjustments may be there. Just like another example, in a chemical plant, a chemical factory, an expert chemical engineer can make little adjustments here and there as required for the smooth functioning so the proper result comes. But if someone who's not expert, even again, if people think he's expert, but he's not expert, or he makes some adjustments, you're likely to end up with a disaster, with the whole. At best, you won't get the actual chemicals which are supposed to be produced, or you might just get a complete disaster and the whole thing just blows up. So there may be a disaster if we're preaching Krishna consciousness very widely, and it seems we're spreading more and more. But the disaster may not be very apparent to us. The disaster is that people think they're coming to Krishna consciousness, but they end up in some kind of joke show, something nonsense, sitting watching an India-Pakistan match or sitting listening to someone who's good at telling jokes, great at telling jokes. But nothing to do with Krishna. But we're told, oh, yeah, it must be Krishna conscious because, no need of because. Just we're fools and we're befooled. So I'm very cautious about all this bridge preaching, what it's called, not preaching Krishna consciousness as the perfect Acharya Srila Prabhupada taught us. And no one's going to teach exactly word by word as Srila Prabhupada did, but it should be recognizable, clearly recognizable as the same thing. And if it's not, if we have to justify it, if we have to try and justify it saying that, well, no, it actually doesn't sound like Krishna consciousness, but it is approved by someone else who we think is Krishna conscious. If we have to justify it, that's a pretty strong indication that it's not what it should be. So this bridge preaching is very, very dangerous. We might just end up driving off the bridge altogether and falling into the ever-flowing river of birth and death. And if we're driving a bus with many passengers, then it's a big disaster. In other words, if we have many followers, but we're going off on a bridge and then we just drive off into Maya. That's a big problem. So to summarize, how are we going to protect ourselves? How can we stay connected in Krishna consciousness? There may be deviations this way, deviations that way, so many things. Well, we have to utilize our God-given intelligence and taking the knowledge that is given to us in parampara, the Shastric teachings, understand the science of bhakti yoga, and make our connections strong by applying ourselves strongly to the clear, authorized process without making unnecessary adjustments and compromises here and there. In this way, we can stay connected. We need to use our intelligence to understand whether or not the association that we have keeps us well connected to Krishna or not. And if not, then we have to adjust accordingly. If we're in association of that association which is clearly not well connected to Krishna, then we need to connect ourselves with that association with it that is well connected to Krishna. These are general guidelines. It's what I've spoken just now is very simple to understand. There's nothing difficult to understand. It may be difficult to accept. Kshurasya dhara nishita duratyaya durgang patas tat kavayo vadanti. We are warned to give the full quote from there, utishtata jagrata prapya varang nibhodata. Shurasya dhara nishita duratyaya durgang patas tat kavayo vadanti. The injunction is to get up, wake up, become aware, having attained this human form of life, become aware of the great boon that is available in this human form of life. That is the spiritual knowledge of Bhagavad Gita as it is that leads to Krishna. But at the same time, we have to be aware that spiritual life is like a razor with a very sharp edge. We have to cut out the unwanted things, but if we don't cut very carefully, we may slit our throat. So it's a very narrow path. And it's a difficult path. We are warned like that. The great personalities, they teach us this. So be careful. It's a difficult path, but Krishna will help us if we are sincere. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam upayanti te. Tesham eva anukam paratam aham jnana jangtamaha nashyami atma bhava sto jnana dipena vasvata. Krishna says, for persons who are always engaged in my devotional service with genuine affection, such persons, Krishna says, I give the buddhi yoga, the intelligence by which they can connect themselves to me. The dhammi buddhi, and then within their heart, to such sincere persons, I become the lamp of knowledge out of my compassion for them, and which dispels the darkness of ignorance. So how can we be protected now and forever into the future? Take to the process, the simple process, as it is, be sincere about it, be very careful not to be misled. Just after the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there were so many misleaders, but the pure parampara continued. Just after Srila Prabhupada has departed from our presence, there may be so many different ideas. How can we find the right way? Well, just try to understand the simple, clear teachings. Keep association with those who follow those simple, clear teachings. And be careful not to associate with or be bewildered by those who bring in other ideas. That's it. Simple. Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Vancha kalpa tarubhyas charkupa sindhubhyavacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha.